The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way. Catamaran home!
Dear listener, it may not shock you to discover that I am not a big fan of fiat currency. And of course, that might not shock you for a number of reasons. Maybe because I seem like the sort of conservative fellow who backs the gold standard and things like that and would never go in for something like fiat currency. Or maybe that would not shock you, because why would that shock anyone? That's not very interesting or novel. And maybe it wouldn't shock you because you don't know what fiat currency is. And maybe it wouldn't shock you because from the time that I started talking to now, you've died and you can't be shocked by anything. And so on and so forth. I don't like fiat currency. And it came to a head this week. I'm listening to Dominic Sandbrook's audiobook, Who Dares Wins, which is all about Britain from the late 70s through the 80s. And it was a time of great inflation. More inflation than we're living through now. And a couple things have stood out to me from this book. One, football hooliganism sounds like a lot of fun. I know people have died. I know it's boorish. It just feels like that sort of street violence. Gee, I hope this doesn't come back to bite me, as a quote. But I can really see in Dominic Sandbrook's descriptions of football hooliganism in the 1980s just how much fun it must have been to beat the shit out of people in the street. And it's given me an appreciation for oi music, which I think is a sort of post-punk music that just involves people saying, oi! But anyway, also an obsession with inflation. I'm thinking about inflation a lot, especially because I have a podcast where hitherto I've been trying to gain 500,000 Australian dollars to buy a boat. Hello, and welcome to the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you're a first-time listener, you might not know that's the point of the show. And it is. Sometimes I get distracted, but basically it is about me trying to buy a boat. And as well as reading or audio booking, I just say reading in conversation because it makes you seem smarter, you know, than I was listening to an audiobook. Because any rube can listen to an audiobook, but only a man of great intellect can drag his eyes across the page. But I was audiobooking it. There's precious little time for reading with a family. And being an attentive member of the family. I think if I was a worse dad, I'd get to read more. And indeed, sometimes I do fantasize about having a big leather armchair in a separate room of the house, father's study, you know, like that weird angry dad in that first Famous Five book, or I think The Magician's Nephew. This was a trope in literature throughout the I actually don't know if it was a trope or if that's just two examples and I'm misremembering because I don't read enough books to know if it's a trope. Excuse me, let's get to the nuts and bolts. I've been reading about inflation, and then I was having a little scroll on my phone, which frankly is what I do. It's not the children who take away my reading time. It's the scrolling. Daddy loves to have a scroll. And I was scrolling, and I saw all these articles saying, hey, the Australian currency is collapsing. And I thought, when I saw that news, probably the same thing that a lot of you thought when you saw those articles. What does this mean for James Donald Forbes McCann's plans for boat ownership? Well, I tell you, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good at all. If the Australian dollar collapses, my understanding is that boats that can go on the sea have a sort of global currency value, because you can just take that boat across the sea and sell it in a country where demand for boats is high, as opposed to housing, which might collapse. And if you have an exterior, you see what I'm saying? So if the Australian dollar collapses, even if I'm earning lots and lots of Australian dollars, I'll never get a boat, because the paper money will be pointless. And then there's the entire other question, as I raised at the beginning of the podcast, about the moral worth of fiat currency.
Well, come to think of it, I don't think I actually did talk about the moral worth of fiat currency. I just said I didn't like it very much, and then I moved on. I question its moral worth.
And as we move, I think these problems become worse as we move to, you know, the online money. They don't let you get money out anymore. They limit the amount of money you can get out in Australia. Maybe on the cardless cash, because I can never find my bank card.
Probably a pretty good safety measure.
I read it somewhere else that they're trying to get rid of cash. They're getting rid of cash. And I don't like cash. And cash is increasingly worthless. And I want to be a good custodian of the money that's coming in for the podcast. So I've made a decision moving forward about how I'm saving for the boat. It's a big decision, and I'm about to share it with you now. I'm collecting silver coins. Fiat currency, begone. I abide by no man's fiat. Silver coins. Now, the current exchange rate for coins to boat, I think this means I need 1,000 silver coins. They mint them. I actually have my first round of silver coins here. Yes, here's my sack of silver coins. Gee, it is a bit hard to not feel like Judas when you're carrying around a sack of silver coins. I'm also open to having other forms of precious metal. Something about a bag of silver coins, very Judas-y energy.
But I'll tell you one thing that strips it of the Judas energy. It's not 30, I think that's how many Judas had. It's less. We're not that far along.
So income for this podcast comes in two streams at the moment. The first stream is the Patreon. And please do sign up to the Patreon. I love having people on the Patreon. And if you want to hear about our plans for making a movie, Sam Clark and I, that's all happening on the Patreon. I finished the script this week. I locked myself away in the office and I finished the first draft of Brad's Glove. And it's going to be a feature film length. Anyway, we'll talk about that on the Patreon. Don't forget to join. So there's that money. And there's the money from other plans that I've done. The art auction.
Previous and upcoming books of poems. That sort of thing.
And that money goes into making more plans. But usually, I try and save what I can. But often, I just take the money from the plans, and then I double down into making a new plan. My hope is that the plans get bigger and more exciting. And a lot of that money goes to Sam Clark, who churns out a lot of YouTube content and is now helping me to make a feature film, which may make enough money off its own back to buy a boat, I'm hoping.
And those are our active revenue streams. We've got to do things for the patrons. You know what I'm saying? We've got to make the plates, send them off around the world in a way that doesn't actually... It's not.
I've got to start checking if when I do things like that, it's going to make money or cost money. The plates were not as expensive as the mugs, but... It was burdensome. And that was paying Margot very little money. Margot's now left the country. I miss Margot very much. Oh, poor Margot. Hello, Margot, if you're listening. Give me a call. And the second stream is passive income. So we have a YouTube channel that is advertising engaged, and money just flows in. It's like a few dollars a day. People watch the YouTube, and the money flows in, and I don't have to do anything. I can add more YouTube, but as the star grows and the podcast gets bigger, that money flows in.
And the other passive revenue stream I had hoped would be advertising on the podcast, which
the company that is hosting the podcast has got their bum into gear and seems to have sorted out that whole system now so that I could be running ads and getting money for the podcast. But I'm sufficiently annoyed. The episode Ads Disabled a few weeks ago, I talk about how annoyed I was. So I'm not doing that for the time being. At the moment, it's just the YouTube.
So basically my plan is as follows for buying a catamaran. We've got a bunch of plans. that are snowballing and reinvesting and making a lot of money, but that's not profit for the boat, you know, because I want to keep using that money. But then if all I'm doing is re-upping and re-upping and re-upping, I don't think that's a good thing to do. That's like a gambler's mentality. Oh, we did an art auction. Well, let's take that money and let's put it back in an even bigger art auction, which we are doing. But maybe that art auction won't be successful. I hope it is. October 13. We'd love to see you there at the big art auction at Praxis. But who knows? It's good, I think, to just constantly be taking out and saving money. So I'm going to put a dam up. I'm going to dam. D-A-M-N. I guess that is spelled the same way as to dam something. But we'll put up a big wall around that stream so that we're always getting closer. It's not just a matter of, you know, being flashier and bigger and more exciting, which is where I always go intellectually. So at the moment, at some point, if we get podcast ads, we'll start damning that money too. But for the time being, we will keep reinvesting all the other money in plans and our team of employees. But the YouTube advertising that comes through, I will keep. And because I don't believe in fiat currency, I will keep it in the form of these beautiful silver coins. Now, at the moment, we have $300 that's come through the YouTube advertising, separate to all the other money. Books of poems, shows. But in terms of just pure YouTube advertising profit, that doesn't make a very jingly noise. I'm going to take it out of the bag. Yes, that sounds more substantial. Six pure silver. It's like 99999. Six beautiful silver coins that will always have value, I do believe. Unless silver... Man, if they figure out how to make silver in a laboratory, I'm screwed. But they haven't done it yet, and why would we think they're going to do that soon? Silver, six silver coins, roughly $50 per silver coin. That's the price in Australia if you go into a shop and you want to buy a silver coin at the moment. And I tell you, so I've got so many different
silver coins here.
Yes, we've got the 2022 Australian coin. Got that one. Excuse me, I don't want any of the coins to fall off and lose them. This one has a kookaburra on it. That's the 2021 Australian silver coin. Let's have a look at this one. This is a 2008 kookaburra Australian. Oh, don't fall onto the floor of the Volvo silver coin. Then we have two. Oh, gee, they are a bit hard to. It's a bit easier when it's in the bank account to keep track of them. These two are English silver coins from 2023. And 2023, respectively. And then the last coin here is, I think, it's a beautiful, I think they're called Maplebacks. It is a coin from Canada in 2020, and it's got our beautiful dead monarch, Elizabeth II, on them. I can't imagine that was good listening for anybody. Six silver coins purchased for the $300 that has come through on the YouTube so far. And as more money comes in on the YouTube, let's put that away there, we will get more silver coins. And as we, you know, if we secure a deal with a brand we believe in on the podcast, then that advertising money will come through also. And we'll just put that aside into the silver coins, not reinvesting that into any plans, just keeping that safe. I was about to say secret. You don't get much less secret than announcing you've got six silver coins. I feel sort of safe saying I've got six silver coins because I'm pretty sure if you wanted to rob me, you'd take the phone. The silver coins yet to exceed in value other things I have on my person. The laptop that I have, so much more valuable than the six silver coins. But in time, I hope to have 1,000 silver coins, which will buy me a boat. 1,000 silver coins at $50 a coin is... that would be $50,000. Yeah. Ah, man. I felt like I was... It's a hot... How many do I need? 10,000. No, that can't be right. Hold on. It's 50. Yeah, I need 500. I do need... crap. Okay. 10,000 silver coins. It seems like a lot. I couldn't buy the smallest amount of gold they had in the shop for my YouTube money. Mercy. All right. Sorry, that's a downer. Crap. 10,000. I'm so far away from having 10,000. I thought 1,000. 6 is actually sort of... It's not close, but it's like it's, you know, 0.6%. I'm on 0.06%. That's probably safe to drive if it's blood content of the alcohol. It's fine, because we have other money, and we have other things coming in and other plans, so this is just security, slow building. I feel it's something the Germans would do, to have some silver tucked away, so that if the currency collapses and there's hyperinflation, you've got something. You know, at the moment, if the currency collapses and the Australian dollar doesn't buy you anything anymore, I can probably go out with my 6 silver coins and buy 1 pair of shoes. But pretty good shoes, and not on special. Just buy them quick smart. 10,000. I've been thinking in my head for days that it was 1,000. I don't even know where I'd keep 10,000. This would get a safe. That's going to cost at least 8 coins. I thought I could just start by buying a good safe and be like, and I'll keep the coins in there. But I realized the safe would cost more than the coins. So I haven't done that. Maybe I'll just bury them pirate style in a secret location. Also, I went to a bunch of different shops to try and buy the silver coins. And they had the same amount. Like, I went to one and then I went to another and they both said $54 per coin. And I'm going, but look on the internet, it says a little under $50 a coin. And the lady said, that's probably in Sydney. You got to pay to get them over here. But I thought the point of precious metal is that it was non-perishable, so that transport costs wouldn't really come into it. It's not a rush. We've got to get the fresh silver over to Adelaide. The people need it. So I'm also not comfortable that I'm buying... I think there might be a more affordable way to buy the silver. I also bought one additional silver coin, and I gave it as a gift to Sam Clark, because it was his wedding. I went to Sam Clark's wedding. It was so beautiful, marrying the beautiful Simi. We went to Africola afterwards, had a beautiful meal, had a cake that was made by Poling Yao, and it was tremendous. I had a really nice time. Sam and Simi, before man and God, I pledge myself to protect that indissoluble union. And I basically stopped working with Sam for that. He kept writing to me. He kept going, we can do this. And I'm saying, Sam, you're getting married. Let's focus on the getting married. But it went off without a hitch. And also, it was one of these more secular weddings. It was an outdoor wedding with a celebrant rather than a church wedding with a priest. But I'll tell you, none of the offensive things about the secular weddings. You know, you go to a wedding. I won't go on and on because I've offended people before by talking about things I don't like at weddings. And then they have that at their wedding. Well, they have had that at their wedding a couple days prior. And then I've spoken a lot about how much I don't like it. But yeah, writing your own vows. Yuck. Get rid of it. You're no good. You're not a poet. You're not refashioning the wheel. Sickness, health, poverty. What's the last one? No outside sex. Those are three. They're great vows, you know? Keep those. And I was once at a wedding where someone said, I will always travel with you. And you go, well, it was actually not long after that, a coronavirus that shut down the world. I guess the marriage is over. I always try and get that up as a bit on stage, but it never quite gets there. I think it is one of those instances of something that annoys me more than it annoys people in the audience. And I'm there going, don't you hate it? And I perceive the audience going, not especially. I want to say this. I know I'm going to talk more about this on the Patreon. Link below, JDF McCann, Patreon. The script, It took, so I finished the first draft, then I spent 3 days going through it again and making it all formatted to look like a real script. And they have all this software they want you to pay for making a script. But if you take half a minute, you can do it on Pages. You don't even need Microsoft Word. You can do it on Pages. And so I've done it there, and it's currently 77 pages long, so it's a 77-minute script. But there are a couple... Apparently it's a page, and that format, it's 1 page, 1 minute. That seems too precise, but apparently it does hold up. There's a 3-minute song at the end, so it's about 80 minutes. It's got to be 90 minutes. And the plan is still to make that in November, take a month to do it. Sam Clark is fresh off honeymoon now, and he's going through the script, and he's coming up with what is the least expensive way we can make it and shoot it. And then I have been doing something very important, going through different male celebrities and female celebrities. It just happens that almost none of them are women. But basically, I've been going through lists of people who got Me Too'd over the last 4 years to see if any of them maybe didn't do anything that bad and are ready to be reappropriated into the mainstream. And maybe you get a famous person a bit cheap. Because I was watching the television, and Johnny Depp is back doing commercials for a perfume company. Oh, that's funny. Remember, they got rid of Johnny Depp, and then more came out, and there was a second court case, and then Johnny Depp's back. It's fine. And now Amber Heard is on the way out. So to take a female example, maybe now's a pretty good time to put Amber Heard in a movie. You know? Huh? I mean, you probably don't have to pay her nearly as much as before that second trial, right? Well, that's what I'm thinking. So they've got these big lists of people, and, you know, some of them are monsters. Some of them, I think, yeah, some of them have done things that I wouldn't want to work with them on a film set, to be honest. Kevin Spacey, I know he just won his case, but I'm young and hot, and I don't want Kevin Spacey grabbing a handful of me. I'd be cautious about that. But I'm going through that list. Maybe that's something we'll do more on the Patreon. Sign up now. Thank you very much. James Donald Forbes McCann, Catamaran Plan, Catamaran Ho, 6 silver coins down, 9,900. And 94 to go.
And now a whip around from Felix James Miller.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Felix.
Where are we?
We are at Stewart's in upstate New York.
Grand institution. So have you ever heard of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan?
I have not.
Well, buddy, you're missing out on the best podcast there is. It's about a man with a plan. A plan to buy a boat. He doesn't know how to sail. He doesn't really like the ocean. He's from Australia. He's Catholic. He's a comedian. He's very crass. He's very funny. And his plan in life is to get money to buy a boat. He doesn't use any of the money for his fairly impoverished family. Instead, he's using it to buy a boat. You need to listen to every episode, starting with the first one.
I can't even begin to tell you how intrigued I am right now.
Great.
Well, thank you very much to Felix, and a big hello to Father Legan, who Felix asks that I say a big hello to. So thank you, Felix, for sending that in, and don't forget to send in your whip around. Just tell someone about the podcast and we'll put that on. I'm sorry, this bit of the podcast is echoey. I already put my microphone away, so I'm just talking into my laptop. It's more rugged, I feel.
Earthy. It feels more earthy and real.